All right. Well, hey, welcome back to Through the Valley. This is an exciting episode. This is our first guest episode. So I actually have someone else here with me to talk so you don't hear my voice the whole time. But this is Ian Lininger.
He is
one of our college students. He's one of our student leaders here at Provision Church, where I work as a college resident. And so I'm at Wingate University, and this is where Ian goes. And so we're really excited. Ian's been there since the beginning of the college ministry, right?
Yeah, it's been crazy. A crazy journey. It's not even been like, what, a year of being really intentional on the campus with Provision?
Yeah, a little over a year. Right. What are some things you've seen or learned from
I've just seen God answer prayers really realistically and really like exact. We've prayed things and God has answered, just like a worship night we had a few weeks ago. There were student leaders who were up there singing. And that was a prayer that Ryan and I, one of our pastors at Provision, had prayed months earlier, and it was just exact answer to prayer. And the location where we actually prayed it, too. So that's one way. And I've seen God just break barriers where people I wouldn't have normally expected to be interested in, like a Bible study. They felt comfortable there, and they felt listened. And it doesn't matter if they're an atheist or somebody who doesn't even believe exactly what we believe theologically. They're there, and they're willing to give their opinions. And that's just been a really cool thing to be a part of.
Yeah, I honestly can't say what we're doing, but prayer, and we have a Bible study, right?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
We worship.
Yeah.
Our lead pastor says to pray like crazy, and so that's we've taken that. So, Ian, you want to tell us a little bit about just yourself?
So I hail from Ohio. I am an exercise science major here at Wingate. I'm second year at Wingate, but I'm going to graduate a little early. I love the outdoors, love backpacking, love fishing. Anything outside is better than being inside. I love Jesus, obviously, and I found Jesus in a lot of those moments when I've been outside. I'm a swimmer, so I'm a student athlete here at Wingate as well, and so that's a big part of my life and some big ways that I've seen God provide through swimming. And I grew up just going to church, and my mom was a single mom, and there's some brokenness and some different things that we're going to dive into here a bit. But just growing up in a single parent home has given me a unique perspective on life. And so I have compassion for people who are medically underserved and some of the vets and homeless population, because my dad actually ended up being homeless and struggled a lot with addiction and things like that. So right now I'm trying to get into healthcare and pursue that and just be the hands and feet of Jesus in that way. But continually surrendering those things to the Lord.
Amen. Well, I know, Ian, I'm thankful for you, and I've seen God work through you, and I've only known you for a little under a year now, but super encouraged by you and very thankful to have Ian with us today. So, well, we're going to get into it. We're with Ian Lininger today on Through the Valley. I'm Cole, your host, and let's dive in. All right, we're back, and as always, we want to start with scripture, and so since we have a guest today, I'm going to ask Ian to share a little bit about what he's been reading in God's Word that's encouraged him. So, Ian, take it away.
Yeah, so I've been reading in Matthew. I've been in Matthew for probably over a month now, and I'm only into Matthew chapter 12, but
nice.
I'm still really stuck on Matthew chapter 9, where we get to see like this introduction of who Jesus is. We get to see the introduction of his ministry. We get to see some of the first miracles that he performs. And I love this part in chapter 9 where he says he's having dinner with Matthew and many tax collectors. The Pharisees saw this and asked the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with the tax collectors and sinners?" This is verse 12 and 13 of chapter 9. On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but the sinners." And so I just love that phrase. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick.
Yeah.
And we see Jesus breaking barriers. We see Jesus healing the lepers. We see Jesus healing the demon-possessed men. The people getting mad at him for healing people that they don't really see as deserving of healing.
Right.
And so the question then for me has, and the personal conviction and challenge that I've been kind of sitting on since reading this, and it's just simply become, what barriers am I willing to break in order to proclaim Jesus's name to a people group that maybe is overlooked, or is a little, the church doesn't necessarily want to pour into as readily, or it just, it's easy to miss people. They fall between the cracks. And so I need to be willing to go counterculturally in the, on the mission for proclaiming Jesus to those who need it the most.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, we live, the world's always been this way, but all we can see is outward appearances. Right. And you know, the scripture in Samuel where God sees the heart, and Jesus being God can see the heart, and faith is what matters. And so he's healing these people that have faith.
Right.
Love that. He comes to heal those who are in need of healing, who recognize that need. Very good. I love that. So good application there. Like, what barriers are we willing to break in our lives to reach someone we may not have considered before? Right. So, yeah.
Yeah, because for me, I sometimes catch myself as just totally writing people off as being a potential person to talk to Jesus about just because I already know where they stand. But it's like, no, I need to go and be direct and challenge them and show that I care for their eternity, right? If I really say that I believe in a heaven and a hell, then I need to live my life as such. And that's honestly been a big conviction lately. And it's been like, am I really sharing Jesus as much as I do online?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So maybe I need to step back and not share Jesus so much on Instagram or TikTok until I'm, you know, some crazy missionary or something. But
yeah, go follow Ian on Instagram and TikTok. No.
But yeah, that's just something God's been doing in my heart, and it's been challenging. Yeah, for sure.
That's a picture of grace. Yeah. I mean, God came into our lives and he healed us, giving us himself through Christ. And so how are we going to continue that work? That's very good. So yeah, I mean, I'm sure on the college campus you interact with a lot of people that, you know, come from broken areas, and you see this. And so that's a good application there. So yeah, transitioning just from that, Ian's here to just share a little bit about really parts of his story. And, you know, this podcast is about mental health and from the Christian perspective. So we'll get into that. But more than that, we all come from a background and a story. So within the topic of mental health, there is a story that takes place. And Ian shared his testimony a few weeks ago at one of our Tuesday night studies on campus, and very impactful. So we're just going to take a little deep dive into Ian's life here. So just to kind of start off, just tell us a little bit about the brokenness you've seen in your life, maybe starting with a poignant point in your life where that kind of started.
So it's a tough thing when you talk about mental health and within the Christian world, because I think it's really taboo, and it's kind of like, oh, you struggle with mental health, your faith isn't strong enough, because we see examples of Jesus healing people who have faith.
That's right.
Just like I talked about. And so it's something that we kind of shy away from, because maybe we don't necessarily know the perfect way to address it. And I think just having conversations like this is really important. So I'm thankful for this opportunity. And so for me, I think just the biggest thing just right from the beginning was not having a dad around. And that was a big piece of brokenness that I remember. There was a time in my life, I was probably like around 12, 13, and I was just giving my mom the hardest time all the time. I was so ornery. I was so frustrated. I would just do things out of spite, because it was like, why don't I have what everyone else seems to have? And I'd look at my cousins who lived down the street, and they had their dad involved all the time. And he's an amazing example to me, and we have a good relationship. And I was just like, why don't I have that, mom? And so I saw God through that, because every single time that I was challenging my mom, and she could have so easily gotten really frustrated at me, and she could have beat herself up because she didn't have a perfect marriage that she had envisioned and thought that God had for her. But she was always pointing me to the scriptures. And so I think that no matter the size or whatever, we feel like some things are worse than others, but it's like, no matter how hard we feel like something is, we always have to be combating the struggles with the word. Amen. We always have to be pointing. Like, it doesn't matter if somebody just passed away in your life, or you're just trying to figure out how you're going to pay the bills, or a job choice. Like, you have to be turning to the scriptures for wisdom. And we're going to see that, like, I've seen that throughout the rest of my life, and different things that I've walked through, continuing back to seeing how God uses the scriptures to relate to us you know, these scriptures were written thousands of years ago, but they're still relevant to the struggles that we face. So that's just a really open-ended.
No, I find that's really good. I find, at least in mental health culture, there's, you know, there's a tendency to not fight against it.
Right.
But the biblical hope and the hope we have in Christ and even in the Word, that is true faith, is like Job going back to God over and over and over, going back to the Word and our communities and our brothers and sisters. And then even the grace of a mother. And man, I know my mom is, if you're watching, mom, my mom has been just such a great godly influence. And praise that's God. The grace of God there, it because, is. You know, even the within the brokenness, he's showing you and giving you hope. Even holding on to God in the midst of that brokenness. So let's get into some details. What are maybe some points along the way that were specific for you in turning your faith or challenging it?
So there's a lot of challenges. But I think because I had such a strong example, my mom through some crazy stuff, like my parents met at a missionary school and my dad was a chaplain in the Air Force. So when you're talking about somebody, my mom wanted to be a medical missionary in like nursing. And so you talk about like a perfect couple, it's right there. And for that not to go the way that it, to not go perfectly is like, it was a shocker for my mom when my dad started, you know, struggling with alcohol addiction and then porn addiction and getting into opioids and crazy stuff. Like there was actually, there was a time when I was a little boy actually that my dad had picked up a dirty needle in the OR and like basically like stabbed himself with it to like get admitted into the hospital. And then there was things and my mom was like worried about like if he got a bloodborne illness through a dirty needle, but that was out of desperation because of his addiction had such a strong hold on him. And so just through stories like that where my mom was able to tell me some crazy stuff that was happening, and I've learned so many more details the older I've gotten, but there were times when we had to move from where I was born to Greenville, South Carolina, and I saw God just provide for us through people bringing us food, people watching me when my mom had to go to therapy and counseling and different things like that. And so I saw, honestly, as a young child, I saw the community of Christ, what it looks like for fellow believers to come around somebody who some churches would cast out. You have a broken marriage. Your husband is addicted. Your husband is, you know, he's not necessarily having sex with other women, but he's struggling with sexual immorality. And some people would say that's your fault. But the churches that we were a part of were like, no, we're going to walk you through the brokenness that you're experiencing. We're going to be there for you. And so I think as a young kid, I saw a lot of just the community of Christ looking out for us and just showing us Christ's love, like we see where Christ was eating with the tax collectors. Christ was, the prostitute at the well. That's what these people did with us. We didn't have a lot of money, but they were supplying us with the little that they had. We didn't have any excess. We were quiet. We were in need, and they met us there. We had people that would come. We had to sell our house, and a bunch of men from the church came on a weekend and like did all the little things to the house to get it ready to be sold.
Yeah,
stuff like that. Like, that is the example of being the hands and feet for Jesus. So that was just the seeds that were planted in my heart that then kind of carried me into the season where when I'm, 16, 17, and now I'm like, okay, is my faith actually going to be mine? Those were the things that I was able to look back and be like, okay, these people are different from the world, and there's something, and they all love Jesus, so I must be able to get through what I'm struggling with. With Jesus.
Yeah, that's such a rich testimony, because not everybody grows up in an environment with the church. Like you mentioned, they often cast out people like that. But just an amazing testimony of what Christian community did for your family in those hard times. So you were a young boy growing up, and your dad, with these struggles started happening. So what age were you?
So I was actually only like 3 months.
Oh, so
old when my dad left for rehab, I believe the first time. Mom, if you're watching this, my facts kind of get a little iffy here and there because it's not something we talk about in depth all the time, but it's somewhere around there. And then he was in and out of the house. But again, actually church guys from the church kind of came and told my dad that you're like, it's not healthy. And they kind of forced him away. So again, like that's guys looking out for another person's
protection.
Protection. Right. Constantly in and out. There was actually just all types of protection where God protected my brother and I from moments like my dad broke into our house once while he was living in the woods homeless. Yeah. And he went and get his gun and all types of other stuff. And we never knew about that. My mom stepped in and protected us a lot, but that was because she was always seeking the Lord's wisdom on how to navigate different things. And so, it was just from the beginning.
Yeah. So as you got older, really teenage years, that's usually the turning point for people.
Absolutely.
So around 16, 17, mm-hmm. obviously looking back on your life, you knew inwardly this was not the way it was supposed to be. I mean, I think in this world, in this fallen world, I talked a little bit about this a few episodes ago, that the curse of sin has impacted everything. I mean, even down to our bodies and with addictions, it's enslaving.
Yeah. I agree.
And even there's other factors that go into that.
Mm-hmm.
And so looking back as a teenager, you're starting to think this is not the way life is supposed to be, right?
I mean, right.
Eternity's in your heart. Eternity's in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking back on that. Like, what is wrong? So as a teenager, how did you begin to wrestle and form that?
That perspective.
Yeah,
that's a good question. So for me, growing up in the church, always at church, my mom was, playing keys. She loved writing Christian music. She actually wrote a song about another crazy God moment. I almost got washed down a river. And so she has this song, Peace Like a River. And so I always, growing up, I heard the little lullabies, my mom playing the keys, hymns, whatever. And so I was a Christian. I know that. But I believe Christ died for my sins. I saw the result of sin in my dad's life, and I saw that pain, so I knew that I needed Jesus. But I think there's a difference between knowing that I need Jesus and then actually living that out. And so for me, it wasn't until it was like in high school when there's this choice. It's like, I can go to church and say all these great Sunday school answers because I had the background to do that. And then there's the other 6 days of the week. And that's where it really clicked for me. And part of me was really struggling because I felt like something was missing in my life, and God had provided so many good things. I was swimming in high school. This is junior year, to be specific here. So I was getting recruited. I took official recruiting trips to the University of Kentucky, University of Tennessee, University of Cincinnati. I had these great opportunities to go to a college and swim there. And my mom has an associate's degree. Like, just getting to go to college is a big deal, let alone swim there. And then you're trying to tell me I might get a little extra money towards it. Like, heck yeah, that's awesome. And so, and then I actually ended up committing to Wingate Division II program, a whole God story there. But I had like this next step from high school to college, kind of figured it out. God had provided in a big way for me to be able to go and get a further my education. And so that's an amazing thing. And I was rejoicing in God for that. But even after such a big blessing, it was like, I made that decision and then I just couldn't feel anything. There was such a blanket of sadness and just depression and just lack of joy, even though you would think, like, Ian, you just committed as a junior in high school to go swim at a college where it's going to be very inexpensive for you. Why aren't you just, like, on top of the world? Like, come on. And so I had to ask myself that, and I was there would be times I was walking through the halls at school just bawling my eyes out, having to lock myself in a stall between classes because, like, I couldn't even make it through the hallway with, like, out just busting out crying. And obviously my life had been very difficult, but there wasn't, like, I didn't feel like those things were enough reason to, like, warrant the feelings that I was experiencing.
Right, or they didn't relate to that specific situation.
Yeah, I was like, okay, like, dad wasn't in the picture and there's a lot of hard stuff, but, like, my mom's amazing. We have a roof over our heads. God's provided money for the bills. I have clothes on my back. Like, what's there's really not anything too crazy going on here. Like, why are you feeling this now? And I think it was kind of this moment where life was starting to get better, and it was finally this point where I could process things. And so there was a lot of just, like, working through not only not having a dad in the picture and some of the struggles that came with that, but I'm sitting here at a stoplight on my way to swim practice, and I'm listening to a Lecrae song, The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, and he's talking about how he was abused by a babysitter, and in that moment, it clicked. Like, all the odd feelings that I was having, I was like, wow, I know exactly why I'm feeling this way. Mm-hmm. And it was this imposter syndrome, this disgust just fell over my spirit in that moment as I'm at this stoplight, and it turns green, and I'm just like, I can't even see the road. I'm just trying to make it into a parking lot. And it's this realization that, you know, the community of believers that I had just praised, within that community, I had been hurt. Mm. And I had been touched. I had been taken advantage of, and asked to do things that were crossing some crazy boundaries. And I just had never even had time to process it, because life was so crazy earlier in my life. It was like, it gotten compartmentalized. And there's a lot of psychology that goes into that. But it was just facing the fact that I had been abused as a young boy, that really put my faith to the test. Those following days really presented themselves with some hard challenges. And I just remember just laying in my bed, staring at the ceiling multiple days in a row, having not even told my mom or anyone, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do with this.
Right.
It felt like a whole, suitcase had just been sprung open, and all the clothes were just so disorganized. It just was so much going on, and I didn't even know how to handle it. It was like the whole world was on my shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah. And I am completely inexperienced with any sort of trauma or psychology, but hearing your story, at least one observation, it seemed as if there was a period where you obviously didn't remember that or right. know it until that moment.
Yeah.
So what in a sense do you think that was? Was it suppression, or was it just being so young, or?
Yeah. So I've talked to a few different people that are professionals, and it's kind of this thing that we do. When it's a matter of life and death or our body's psychology, we feel like if we acknowledge something, it could cost us the basic necessities that we need to live. Mm-hmm. So our minds basically tell us that it didn't happen so that we can have food, we can have people to love us. Like, there's the hierarchy of needs. Mm-hmm. And so that was just this moment in my life where suddenly financially, my mom was doing okay, and the school stress was better. I just made a big decision, something that I've been working for the 3 years prior in high school swimming. The goal is always to get to the collegiate level. So I'd accomplished that. And so it was this time where I was like, okay, what's next?
Right.
And then my mind was digging into the archives, and it was like, oh, well, this exists.
Yeah.
And it was memory so vivid that it's like impossible for it to be just made up.
Yeah. I mean, you knew that happened.
It's like specific times and they match up with kind of some cross-referencing that we've done, and it's very 100% true.
And so regardless, I don't know who's listening or what story or what you've been through, but we carry things from our past,
right?
And that even it was years and years ago, but that impacted you up to that day, and even this process of healing and getting through that.
Absolutely.
So we carry things from our past, and
we do.
So man, I mean, I don't really know where to go from there, but let's just continue with your story.
So I think, too, when you're talking about just the carrying of things into the past, and I think that was really evident in my dad's life, and we see the fact that there were sins that weren't dealt with appropriately that carried into his marriage, and then we see in my life where there were things that were not necessarily dealt with in the moment, not necessarily a sin, but just important things. And so we know that God says, I forget the exact reference, where it's like everything done in the dark will be brought into the light. And so it's this kind of idea that I think whoever it is, anxiety, depression, abuse, abandonment, all of these different things, there's this moment where we have to be real with ourselves and we have to be real with God. And it's just recognizing them first to ourselves and recognizing them to God, that this pain and hurt does exist, that then healing can take place. Because if you don't recognize that there's something broken, just like salvation requires that you recognize that there's a need for a savior, in the same way, it doesn't just apply to salvation. Mm-hmm. It's like, I like it says, it's not just the healthy that need a doctor, but it's the sick. Mm-hmm. So you have to recognize that there's something that you need healed from. And for everyone, I think it's a little different. Not everyone suffers with anxiety. Not everyone suffers with depression. But everyone suffers with a heart that's inclined to sin. Mm-hmm. And that's the reality of the world that we live in. And so we have to learn how to navigate through that and constantly navigate towards Jesus through those things and understand that there is there's a time and a place for counseling, and I was able to go to a counselor who pointed me to references in biblical characters who also struggled. We look at David at his depression, and we look at how God used his brokenness. I mean, he killed a man for his wife. Like, he was not a good man by any means, and he struggled with a lot of things. But we say how he was an important person in the heritage and lineage of Jesus. And so, too, then we have to ask ourselves if God uses broken people like David or a prostitute or, you know, even Peter denying Jesus three times and Jesus is still willing to sit with him on the beach and ask him, do you love me three times? Then, like, if God can use those people, then he can use whatever brokenness we feel is too much for God.
Right.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
God knew the pain that we're going to be through, but the thing is he provided a lifeline through that.
Right.
It's not a shortcut. And I think that that's when we talk about, like, the mental health within the Christian world, and we talk about the struggles, and maybe that's how it's taboo or whatever it is we often, like, oh, just pray about it, have faith, read your Bible. And it's like, I support all of those things, but it's not just a light switch.
That's right. Yeah. If it was, we'd flick it on and off.
Exactly. And I think that some, like, old timey faith, like, that's how it's kind of viewed. And it's really important to just surrender that timeline to the Lord and be like, God, this is the brokenness that I'm dealing with. I don't know how I'm going to get through today, but I know you're going to carry me through. And it might not be some crazy aha moment, you're speaking in tongues or something, but you're going to see God move.
Yeah.
When you give him control and you say that, like, I can't do this on my own. And I think that that's a really important heart posture to have when we're navigating through those types of things.
Yeah, I think, I mean, at least in the Christian worldview, I mean, we understand our salvation. Jesus came, he died, rose again, and he forgave us of our sins. But there's often a disconnect between how, in the here and now, as we await for Christ's return, how does the gospel invade my life or even my sufferings, right?
Yeah.
Like, how does the cross relate to my suffering or brokenness? But I think it's exactly what you're talking about with Jesus coming, and you mentioned him just sitting and, you know, even weeping when his Lazarus died. And you see that he comes into a broken world, not just to save it, I mean, primarily to save us, but to also relate to us.
Experience it, right?
Experience.
Because he knew Lazarus was going to raise him. He knew he was going to come up from the dead, but he still chose to be burdened and saddened.
Yeah. Like, he's able to see it from the other side.
Yes.
We can't. And, you know, when it gets into, you know, Romans 8, 28, he's working all things for the good of those who love him. You know, that's often confusing for us because we think that what we're experiencing now is not good, you know, but we can't see that other side yet of how God is working. But he says all things. And so that even means our brokenness and your story and my story. And we're not even through with it yet.
You
know? Got a long way to go.
Yeah.
And things yet to come.
Absolutely. But I think it's too just the foundation of how we navigate through the struggles that will serve us well in the future. And I think that, you know, everything, the Christian walk is all about growing and learning and constantly reminding yourself of God's faithfulness. I think that's a really simplified way to say it, but it's the reality of it. And so I think that if you can handle, you know, walking through a season of depression or walking through a life of depression or anxiety or other things, it's like that's a way that not only can you speak to God in a specific thing like depression, if that's what you struggle with, you can also walk alongside someone else and invite them into your own struggles and be like, I know you're struggling too. I'm struggling. And, like, we both love Jesus, and that should be all that matters. And you can kind of walk through that together, because we see examples of, you know, when Paul's writing to the other churches, he's burdened by the suffering or the sins that they're falling into. And so in the same way, we should care for our brothers and sisters in the same way, even if we've never experienced exactly what they've gone through.
Right.
God calls us to have a heart of compassion, and we see that that's a biblical attribute that I think is really relevant when you're talking about mental health and just not just being so, like, fake about it. Like, let's get to the nitty gritty. And if it's just talking, it's just talking. Like, I'm not trying to heal you or give you some magic spell, but sometimes people just need somebody to listen to them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I guess transitioning more so to mental health.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, your story, the things that come along with it, maybe depression or anxiety, mm-hmm. it's all embedded in that story. And so right. for you, I guess just a take on mental mm-hmm. health, like for you, maybe certain periods
yeah.
or specifically what, because, yeah. you know, my depression may exhibit itself differently or come in different seasons than yours, or yeah. it may just be a one-time episode. So right. kind of your overall experience.
Yeah. So for me, like I'm pretty blessed in the sense that I feel like the mental health struggles that I do have are pretty, like, it's not so drastic. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's just different seasons that kind of flow through. It's not a lot of up and downs, but it's just, it comes with like just, I see it in relationships now. I have a really hard time like being real with people because I'm afraid that like they're going to leave. And so like getting invested into relationships and carrying that is really hard for me. And I have, like, almost, to keep people in my life, I almost feel like I have to sacrifice myself for them. Mm. Because, like, my dad didn't stay in the picture. There's some other people in my life that have kind of just up and left unannounced. And so that was kind of hard for me because I put the blame on myself. Mm-hmm. And so in the same way, I feel like, if somebody doesn't stay in my life, whether it's just a friendship, a relationship, or, you know, whatever it is, I feel like it's my fault. Mm-hmm. And so just surrendering those things to the Lord has been something that I've had to work on.
Yeah.
And just not overthinking. Yeah. That's a way that like anxiety kind of manifests itself for me, is I replay like conversations. Like I might replay this podcast in my mind later.
Well, you can listen to it later.
No, don't tell me that. But seriously, like it can be a problematic where I just dwell on things and try to put so much pressure on myself to have the perfect conversation with somebody, or, you know, if I feel like I'm making progress in my sanctification process, and then there's a day when I curse or something, I get frustrated and I overthink and I'm like, well, did I get my word enough? And did uh-huh. I music and all this yeah. different stuff? And it's like, I'm sinful, and that's just the reality of it. And how do I handle that? And yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, even like, at least I studied psychology in my undergrad, and even from a psychological standpoint, obviously there are symptoms and mm-hmm. patterns that exhibit right. itself over time, and they've collected enough data to call it depression or anxiety yeah. or the how many ever they have yeah. now in the DSM.
Bipolar and all
right.
that. Yes.
But like kind of what you're saying with depression, it's that internalizing mm-hmm. problems, even putting the blame on yourself to where it's on you. It's in your head. Mm-hmm. That's not the only thing that goes into it by any means. But like you pointed out with anxiety as well, the overthinking mm-hmm. and the ruminating of, you know, is that person going to be happy with me, or did this go right, or did I upset them? That's one area. It can relate to other things. But I guess what I'm trying to say is we need to take a holistic approach to it.
Absolutely.
You know, the Bible never says the word depression, but in the Psalms, I mean, clearly you would see that that is a depressed
state.
Spirit or yeah. state. So sometimes we can't just slap a word on something and say and diagnose it and then move on. You know, it's embedded within someone's experience or mm-hmm. circumstances even.
And I would almost argue that labeling different things is almost part of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think sometimes it's like somebody goes to a counselor or a therapist or whatever, and they get tossed a label, oh, you're depressed, or oh, you have anxiety, toss you some pills, and oh, I should be better now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more of like the tools that you learn along the way to better handle just the reality of the different things that you struggle with. And I think for me, it's just the realization that if I do internalize things a lot, then I have to do everything in my power to like not do that. And so if that means like writing, I have a whole notebook mm-hmm. here. And if it's taking a walk and just praying to the Lord, rather than just like thinking things, surrendering my thoughts to the Lord is a really big one. And just having a core group of support to talk to is really important. And yeah, just being outside, honestly, is number one for me. That sunshine
yeah, yeah.
is so good.
You know, kind of what you're saying there, I mean, from a psychological viewpoint, coping
right. yeah,
skills,
coping yeah, exactly.
mechanisms, you know. But obviously, from the Christian worldview, we would say those are healthy rhythms and healthy
right.
spiritual practices, like journaling mm-hmm. and being outside, enjoying yeah. God's creation, or sitting with a mentor and being able to just talk. And so there's more than just the go to a therapist and get meds and get a diagnosis, although that is definitely needed, you know. I guess kind of what we're coming to is a holistic approach in that. So yeah, so I guess, is there anything else you want to talk about within your story that you didn't get to yet? Or
I just think that it's super important that if you're listening to this and you know that there's stuff that you've been struggling with but you haven't talked to anyone about, I would say it's really important to just find that 1, 2, 3 people in your life that you feel like you can be real with and open and honest with, and just talk to people. Because I think a lot of some of the mental health struggles that we're seeing the most, right? Like suicides were up, like, what was it, 300% in Gen Z over the pandemic. Yep. Some crazy numbers. And it should burden us. But at the same time, I think that a lot of those things entirely preventable with proper, you know, steps in place prior to those things. And so I think that if you can catch things before they get really bad, it's really important. And I think, too, if you've walked through something and you see somebody kind of not right, like, press them.
Yes.
I promise you that the first thing that a depressed or an anxious person is going to tell you is that they're fine.
Yep.
I don't think that there's too many people that just go, yeah, I'm really struggling today.
Yeah.
Until they've had practice being real with themselves and being real with others. So it's going to take some uncomfortable conversations. But showing someone that you care for them by being willing to be like, no, I actually like, want to know. It might take a second, but it'll be worth it in the long run. And just being willing to talk about things is a really big first step.
Yeah, there's two sides of that coin. There's for the one struggling. You know, I remember in my depressed states just wishing someone would come and just, you know, be Jesus to me in a sense. Like, just listen and ask me and get everything out. But we live with other humans, and so they can't read our minds or our state. So part of that is reach out anyways. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be hard. You may fear they won't understand you. But like you said, 1, 2, 3 people that will be that support. And then on the other side, having an awareness. Mm-hmm. I think one thing, at least for me, is walking through it is like I can see how patterns in people's life. And so not to say you have to go through mental illness or mental health to, you know, be aware.
Yeah.
That's right. But just knowing that it is a problem and it is things that people go through.
Yeah. And I think just praying and asking the Lord for clarity.
Yeah.
Like, just if you can notice different things about yourself, like, that's going to help your future spouse, your current spouse, your current friendships, your mentor be able to better love you through those different things. And I think that just like you said, it's just self-awareness to an extent, and that takes practice. Mm-hmm. And one of those things too that I've learned is like boundaries is super big. And I've had to lay down some hard boundaries this semester, and it's been challenging for me. There's just some things that I had to do, and people that I said, you know, I can't be involved with talking to you. And that's okay. And I think that sometimes within like the Christian view and like the Christian realm is it's like, oh, everybody's brothers and sisters in Christ and we have to love everybody. But at the same time, like, it's important to understand that we still have boundaries. Jesus had boundaries.
Yeah.
Jesus stepped away by himself to pray.
Yeah.
Like, we see times when Jesus escaped. He had to be alone, and there are going to be times in your life where that's important too. You don't have to be like a prick about it, but there's a way to love someone and just be like, right now is not good for me. And so I'd encourage you, like, we're in a world right now where it's go, 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 go. And our phones are right here and somebody can call me and get an instant response. And if they don't, they wonder if something's wrong. But 20 years ago, that was impossible. And so our brains and the way that we live life is having to adjust to those things. And I think that might be some of the reason why we're experiencing some of the numbers in anxiety and different illnesses. And that's just the reality. We can't go back now.
Yeah.
But how do we navigate through that? And that's
how do we go forward?
That's the question. And that's where we just have to talk and learn from others. And
we're all on a journey.
Yep.
I think that's good. The boundaries there, because especially people that are more prone to depression and anxiety, they are maybe not, I don't want to say more aware of other people's responses or emotional states, but they tend to take on, you know, people's burdens, problems, and to the point where you're or we are mentally exhausted, drained, and emotionally drained. And, you know, and like we got enough on our plate already, and but we know this person's hurting. I know for me, like I just felt the world was on my shoulders. Like I had to solve every problem. But, you know, there's only one Savior, and I'm not him. Yeah. So that's really good, the boundaries. Even Jesus had to get away and pray to the Father early in the morning. So that's good. So, yeah, I guess just kind of to work towards a conclusion here, right now you're on a college campus. You're on a collegiate swim team, pursuing, you know, graduate school in the future. You got a lot on your plate. And, you know, how do you navigate all this? What's some balance or?
I don't think I do it the best by any means. I was just talking to Cole before we got on here, and I was talking about how this semester was really hard for me, and there's a lot of challenges, and there's some different things going on that are, you know, kind of testing what I thought God's plan was for my life, or at least a timeline for that. But I think that the biggest thing is just taking it a day at a time. And I think for me, just accepting the fact that it's not going to come to you in an instant, and just being willing to break it down. And, you know, I'm blessed to be a part of a ministry where we have other leaders, and there are other people that can disciple, you know, kids that I can't, and just take the pressure off myself. And ultimately, it's, I got to make time for God's word too. I think that was something that was kind of off and on throughout the semester. And the days go a little slower when you have that quiet time and just allow yourself to find peace with Jesus, even if it's only for 20, 30 minutes. So that's something really big. And just the music that I listen to, and just trying to surround myself with edifying things that feed my soul well. And I have this reminder set on my phone. I haven't completed it yet for this week. But the weekly 45 is something that I try to do. And it's after church on Sundays. I'm trying to get outside for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Take a little walk, eat my lunch outside. So little things like that. Just trying to get through the stress of being a college athlete and whatnot.
No, I appreciate the humility. I mean, we're all on a journey. So to come from a standpoint where we know it all would just be foolish. But nonetheless, it's encouraging, because not only are you talking about this stuff, but you're actively seeking to grow. And I'm sure this will be a huge encouragement for, I mean, just our peers, even near our age listening, even people older than us, to know that, I mean, there's hope. I mean, I look at Ian's life and I see God weaving a story of his grace, not only in saving him, but in redeeming and making all things new, which was, it's what Jesus says is going to happen at the end of time.
Yeah.
But man, just such an encouragement. And there's hope. I mean, there's always hope in the Christian worldview, even if it looks so dark. I'm sure on a college campus, I mean, you're in the culture.
Yeah.
I guess the question I would ask is, how big of a problem is just mental health? Or I don't know if that's the right question, but you kind of see what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I do. And I actually said to somebody the other day, I was like, to this point, is it's like money doesn't solve depression, it just hides it. And I think the same thing is, it's like busyness doesn't mean you're not depressed, it just hides it, it suppresses it. And I think I see a lot of that on the college campus. I see a lot of kids that know that they're struggling with different things. There's questions that they have, but they kind of push it to the side because they have the societal norm that they're trying to conform to, and that's get that degree. And a lot of my friends are student athletes and whatnot, and so you know, they're just grinding like everybody else. So it's really easy to be apathetic. And so I guess that's just one way that I see the devil working. Not only, I mean, I see myself struggle with that sometimes. And just apathy is the killer of faith. And so, but yeah, mental health is a big problem. And we're seeing some crazy things. Like people just, it's always existed. People have always drank. People have always, you know, turned to hookup culture or whatever. But as these things become normalized within society as a whole, not just inside the circle of 20 to 24 year olds, it gets worse and it gets more rampant and more widespread. And so I think just anytime you're surrounded by the world, which is always right, it just, the closer you get with Jesus, the further away you feel from those things. Mm-hmm. And that's an amazing realization to have, but it can also get really lonely sometimes. So
Yeah, I always think about it, you know, like we interact with students on a weekly, daily basis for you, but we don't see them in their dorms when they're alone or in their cars when, you know, we don't see the stressful parts,
right,
or the brokenness.
Yeah.
We only see the things on Instagram and TikTok.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
So, man, I mean, just, and we know the stats on Gen Z and just the problems and the just burden that's there. And I mean, that's part of why we're doing what we're doing on the college campus.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
God is faithful, and prayer. We just need to pray for our generation, for all those struggling. But
agreed.
Yeah. Any last words to wrap this podcast up?
There's a lot of conversation in here, and I don't necessarily know the best way to sum it up, but I hope that this ministered to whoever's listening, and I hope that the Lord is challenging you in whatever season you find yourself in, and I pray that you just draw closer to Him and understand that it's only through Christ that you're going to find hope, because the world tries to turn to everything else, and it just kind of turns them further down a dark hole. And the best part about serving Jesus is the fact that He's no longer in the grave, and He is alive in us, and we have that resurrection power within us.
Yeah.
And so we can walk confidently, knowing that we have the Creator of the world in our corner. As cliche as that sounds, it's the reality, and sometimes we have to use cliche little statements to, if that's to get out of bed, that's what it takes.
Amen. So, that's so true. I mean, even in your depression, anxiety, brokenness, God is for you. Who can be against you? Amen. Well, Ian, I'm super thankful for you, and
thankful
for your time and your busy exam season.
I'm done now for the semester, so I'm not as giving of my time as you think. You caught me on a day where I had nothing else. So.
I really appreciate it. I'm grateful.
I appreciate you.
Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in to Through the Valley. Just hope you'll be encouraged by Ian's story, and as I was just sitting here, but let's continue just trusting in God, Jesus Christ, amidst all the valleys of life. Until He brings us through the final one to the home of the new heavens and new earth. So really thankful for you guys tuning in. All right, have a good one.